Okay, welcome to the Situation Update for Tuesday, January 12th, 2021. This is Mike Adams, your host here, the Health Ranger, naturalnews.com, and the founder of Brighteon.com, of course. And I also want to give a shout out today to the fans of David Wilcock, who I think mentioned this podcast in one of his videos. And I got a special message for David Wilcock at the end of this podcast, if you want to tune into that. A fascinating man he is, with a vast understanding of human consciousness and the spiritual revolution that's taking place. I'll have more comments at the end. Now, in today's podcast, this is just an extraordinary podcast. Well, I shouldn't say that. I mean, it's an extraordinary time, and I'm just doing my best to cover it and to explain it. And I spent all day yesterday in phone calls, phone conferences, private phone calls, and private texts with numerous individuals, many different sources, and high-level people here and there, military people there, and, you know, on the street observers. And there's so many phone calls involved. I'm starting to feel like real work here now, which I'm not a big fan of sitting behind a desk and making phone calls all day. So this is too many phone calls. But this is what it's going to take to get down to the real story of what's happening. The big story here is that my sources have they've fractured. And what I mean is, well, they polarized. So I've got some sources that now believe that Trump has thrown in the towel. And then other sources, which is actually the majority of sources, believe that Trump is about to take imminent action and that things are lining up for that action. And so I do want to present to you a little bit from both sides of that, because even as you know, there have been so many rumors floating around, and we all heard the rumors, oh, there's going to be an emergency announcement, a rumor that Trump was going to speak Saturday night and then Sunday and then yesterday. And you know, it's like everybody's like, what? You know, we're waiting. And even over a week ago, right before the Georgia runoff election, remember when Trump was having a rally and he said, hey, there's some crazy stuff that's going to come out in the next 10 to 14 days. Remember that? Yeah, that was right before everything kind of hit the fan on that Capitol raid day, January 6th. Well, what if the Capitol raid was actually part of a very elaborate plan? And that's what I'm, a plan in favor of Trump. And that's what I'm going to present to you here as part of the presentation, because it looks like certain events are lining up in support of Trump getting ready to do what I might call the big reveal. And by the way, none of us have forgotten about all those promises, you know, that Trump made over the years. Trump saying, you know, he's going to fight for us and needs us to fight with him. And that Trump has, you know, bombshell information he's going to present. And then attorneys close to Trump also say, I mean, even Jenna Ellis talking about that they're going to present information on the 6th and then encourage the Congress to kick it back, encourage Pence, I think, to kick it back to the states for adjudication and so on. And then Sidney Powell talking about her bombshell Kraken evidence. Well, guess what? Sidney Powell was not making that up. She wasn't fabricating that information. Sidney Powell hasn't lost her mind. She's just been working behind the scenes ever since then. And in fact, you know, I talked about Lynn Wood yesterday, and Lynn Wood, some people think that he had lost his mind, but every time, if you just wait a little bit, Lynn Wood turns out to be right yet again on some new big bombshell thing. Oh, by the way, he's been banned from Parler, but then Parler was completely deplatformed by Amazon. So I guess it doesn't matter that he was banned from Parler, because everybody's essentially banned thanks to Amazon. So if you feel like canceling your Amazon Prime membership and no longer ever shopping at Amazon, that would be just great, because Amazon hates you. Yeah. So I think they used to ship their boxes with like an Amazon smile logo on it. Just turn that box upside down. It's really a Bezos frown is what is Bezos is scowling at you. He hates you. So stop shopping at Amazon and, you know, support local businesses if there are any left after the lockdowns. You know, you can see the whole scheme. I'm not even going to go into it here. But we're going to get into how this entire operation may be leading up to a decisive Trump victory. Before I get to that, though, I want to give you the downside, the so-called bad news, and then I also need to share something with you about a conversation that I had with Alex Jones. I was on his show, InfoWars, yesterday, presenting some very important information about what states can do to defend the Republic and block big tech censorship and so on. But I also had a private conversation with Alex, and he told me additional information, and he said it's okay to share it. It turns out that there's a black hat division of the Secret Service, and they were trying to set up Alex Jones to lead the raid on the Capitol building and have Jones arrested as a terrorist. And Jones was able to escape that on January 6th. So I want to give you a little bit more detail about exactly what happened straight from my conversation with Alex a few hours ago. But first, let's just cover the bad news and get that out of the way, because that's not the focus of what I'm talking about here. The bad news comes from, well, a couple of sources. One source in particular, I was on a phone conference yesterday with the source who is I don't think I have permission to give his name out, but some of the listeners here know who I'm talking about because they were on that call too. And anyway, this person is a former associate of President Trump. Let's put it that way. And he says that he doesn't believe that Trump is going to take any action, and that Trump is just going to essentially let the clock run out, and then he's just going to try to go off in his own life and avoid prosecution, and that he's got no ability, because of the swamp creatures around him, to actually get anything done. Now, I do think that this source believes that Trump would like to invoke the Insurrection Act, but that there's no willingness of military people around him. And also, it is absolutely true that Pat Cipollone, the White House, I think, general counsel attorney, is absolutely telling Trump constantly, don't listen to General Flynn, don't listen to Sidney Powell, don't talk to Rudy Giuliani, don't do this, don't do that. And Cipollone should have been fired the day that Patrick Byrne was there, you know? But sadly, Cipollone, I think, is still in play, and he's like Worm Tongue from Lord of the Rings. He's like, my lord, you let this evil person into your office? Tell him to leave, you know? I guess that's more of a Smeagol voice, but I forgot what Worm Tongue sounds like exactly. But you get the idea that he's this evil interloper who tries to dissociate Trump from patriots who are trying to give Trump good information. All right. So, but you know, Trump is no fool either. He's been around for a long time, and he's a very successful business person. Trump, you know, Trump can make his own decisions, and he probably knows when he's being handled in an inappropriate way like that. So maybe Trump keeps Cipollone around for other reasons, but I don't think that Trump lets any other human being make his decisions for him, right? So this assessment that Trump has given in, and I've heard this from other sources as well, and there's a lot of skepticism out there, and even Alex Jones himself talks about, as he calls them, the Q-tards, and the Q worshipers, the Q followers, who he believes are just really naive about what's going on and just kind of blindly follow whatever. And even Alex is very critical about any hope of anything good ever happening, and perhaps his assessment is the correct one. But there is a different assessment, a more positive assessment, that I'm going to share with you here tonight as well. It's just that, truth be told, the CIA clowns are doing an extraordinary job of disinformation and creating noise. Okay, so for you clowns who are listening, you know, kudos, you've done your jobs. You have put noise out there to such a degree that even in the Patriot community, there's like two alternate realities now. So you've done well for your Emperor Palpatine. But those of us who are genuine patriots, it just makes our jobs so difficult to talk to sources and discern who's got good information or who's got bad info or being emotionally manipulated by the CIA or this or that. So it is very difficult to discern what's happening right now. We admit that, and there's no absolute certainty in anything, but we would also expect that with a super secret operation, because any kind of big global operation to take down the criminal cabal of pedophiles and everything else, you would have to have very strong operational security or OPSEC in order to make that happen. So it's not like Trump was going to ever tweet out that, oh, we're, you know, the arrests are going to start at noon on Thursday. That was never going to happen. So we're always going to be left to guess at exactly what's going down. It is kind of a black box, right? Now, the other thing about this negative side of the news is that it's not consistent with who Trump is. You know, Trump is not someone who surrenders. He doesn't give in easily. He's personally, it's like a personal insult for him to lose. He wants to win and win big and win decisively and win so big that you know that he beat you so bad that you suck. I mean, that's the kind of winner Trump is. He wants to win and throw it in your face. And so he's had 4 years to plan this operation. And he wrote the original executive order about foreign interference in elections in 2018. So we know he knew about this since at least 2018. And if you look at all the milestones here and the waypoints of things that Trump has said, like saying, oh, big things are going to come out in 10 to 14 days, or, you know, it come to D.C., it's going to be wild. Why did he need so many patriots in D.C. for that day? Well, the answer, I believe, is to provide cover for the op that I'm going to describe here shortly that ultimately has led to 15,000 pro-Trump National Guard troops in D.C. protecting the White House and the Capitol building, which I'll get to in more detail here in a second. So Trump has sent all kinds of signals this entire time that he's fighting for us and he's not going to give in and he's not going to concede. And even his so-called concession speech from a few days back, there was no concession in there. He never said he conceded. He never said that Joe Biden's the president. He just said there's going to be a transition to a new administration. That's right. Whole new Trump administration, you know, with a different VP and maybe a whole different system of United States of America government, right? I mean, we got to start thinking really big about where this is going. Maybe we don't need to be ruled by some centralized control system in D.C. any longer, because maybe humanity is ready to evolve to the next stage of self-responsibility, you know, thinking and acting like adults and making our own decisions and having a decentralization of thoughts and ideas, rather than the extreme centralization that the media are pushing and big tech is pushing, where, you know, you're not allowed to have any variation whatsoever in their thoughts. Remember the Apple ads back in the 1980s when Steve Jobs was at the helm of Apple? And, you know, the ads were awesome. Remember the big Super Bowl ad of that, I think it was a woman with that hammer, and throws it at the screen, smashes the screen of the Orwellian overlords. And it was like setting people free to use an Apple computer. And they used to have the Apple logo, and under it, it would say, think differently. Well, today that ad would have to say, think differently and we'll ban you because that's because that's the way Apple is today. Think differently and you're in trouble. You're going to get deplatformed, you know? But isn't it time for humanity to go back? Well, actually, I mean, to move forward in our evolution, but to get back to principles of creativity and abundance and thinking for ourselves and taking responsibility for our own lives and not just living as NPCs dependent on an authoritarian, tyrannical state that gives us our food stamps and our housing subsidies and tells us what to think and tells us how to vote, you know, which is what, frankly, what the Democrats stand for. So Trump's entire behavior for the last 4 years is utterly inconsistent with him now abandoning all the patriots and leaving everybody hanging in the wind. So I can't see Trump doing that. He is going to try everything that he's got, I believe, in these final days of his administration. And because he also knows that if he doesn't, not only would he destroy his own reputation among his supporters, which is really, truly today, Trump's greatest asset is his, you know, 100 plus million supporters across America. That's his greatest asset, even more valuable than all of his businesses and you know, hotels and golf courses and everything else. It's the Trump people. Why would he betray all those people by doing nothing and leaving all the patriots hanging? And in some cases, almost literally hanging because people were arrested for breaching the Capitol building, even though back in the 1980s, a left-wing terrorist actually set off a bomb in the Capitol building. And I think that was Susan, was it Rosenberg? I'd have to check the name, but then I think she was pardoned by Bill Clinton because Democrat presidents can always pardon left-wing terrorists, you see. But if you just peacefully enter the Capitol, now you're a terrorist and you're never going to get pardoned by anybody. But I just don't see Trump leaving patriots hanging because Trump would destroy his own reputation. And then furthermore, Trump would be subjecting himself and his family to criminal prosecutions by states such as New York, Southern District of New York in particular. So I don't see Trump giving in, although it was said by that source I mentioned earlier that the people around Trump are afraid to follow his orders because they think they will all be charged with treason. You know, isn't that crazy? That they're afraid they'll be charged with treason for defending the Republic against treasonous traitors. You know, the real treason is the treason of rigging the election. The real treason is Nancy Pelosi and, you know, Adam Schiff and Chuck Schumer and so on. The real treason is the corruption and fraud. The treason is the fake president, Joe Biden, who's the pretend president. They're all pretending now. They didn't win the election, which means that none of the laws that they pass and sign are legitimate at all. And I'll talk about that later when we talk about withdrawing consent from this criminal cabal. But that kind of sums up the bad news section of this. Let me tell you this Alex Jones story real quick because it's related to the good news. So Alex had stated on his show a couple of days ago that when he was speaking at the January 6th rally, and his organization InfoWars had paid for the speaking platform and the speakers and everything, or partially paid for it. And then the Secret Service had made contact with him there and had told him that they wanted him, after he was done speaking, to lead the march of the people onto the Capitol building, and that they would offer him secret service protection as he's leading that march. So we now know that that march on the Capitol building was designed, it was hijacked by the left, who had Antifa and Black Lives Matter, you know, instigators at the front of it, trying to break windows and so on, and breaking into the Capitol building to be followed by patriots. Well, the Secret Service was trying to set up Alex Jones to be at the head of that, thinking that Alex would fall for it because he wanted to lead the people into this siege of the Capitol building. And then they would be able to arrest Alex Jones and charge him with insurrection or, you know, treason or whatever, sedition. And they would be able to take him off the air. But this false flag operation didn't run the way that the black hats of the Secret Service and other government agents wanted it to run. For one thing, they planted two pipe bombs at the RNC headquarters, and those bombs never went off. They had planned to set those off. Something went wrong. Secondly, they started the raid too quickly on the Capitol building. There was tear gas being fired way early, just barely after Trump had finished speaking. Alex Jones wasn't anywhere near the Capitol building when the siege started, and the timing was way off. So they were trying to rush Alex and his crew toward the Capitol building to make sure that he could be part of the siege and then be arrested. But Alex had loyal people around him, and I don't know if he wants me to say who they used to work for or whatever, but it's just, you know, white hat people. And they told Alex, watch out. But Alex also has a really great sense himself about when he's being set up. So what he did is he took his bullhorn, and as he approached the Capitol building and he could see that they were trying to do this siege of the building, Alex was on his bullhorn on video shouting, like, you know, don't be part of the attack. You know, stop climbing the walls, I'm paraphrasing, or, you know, move away from this side of the building, whatever. So he's actually on video saying, don't participate in this attack, and saying, we don't want to be violent, you know, we're peaceful, those kinds of things. Well, the Wall Street Journal had an article ready to roll out in advance. And the article said that Alex Jones led the siege on the Capitol building, and the article was citing other instigators in the crowd who had been told ahead of time to start shouting, you know, Alex wants us to attack. You know, Alex Jones says attack. But he never said that. So this was a narrative. And then the Wall Street Journal later had to retract that fake article, but they put it out because they had it pre-written. Just like a lot of articles were pre-written about World Trade Center 7, you know, the third building on 9/11 that was destroyed through demolition, there were publications, news outlets that were reporting it even live on TV before the building fell. In one famous news clip, there's a woman, a news reporter, talking about World Trade Center 7 has fallen, and she's reporting with the skyline behind her, and the building is still intact behind her. It hasn't even fallen yet. So a lot of times these fake news outlets that are controlled by the CIA, the timing is off. It's very difficult to control the timing of all of these events, especially when there are large numbers of people in charge. But I wanted you to know that Alex Jones saved himself from being set up as an insurrectionist or a treasonous actor on January 6th. They wanted to charge him with crimes and take him away, and they failed to do so. And then they, you know, they ordered him out of the city along with a bunch of other patriots and so on. So the lesson from this is that, you know, Alex just saved his own skin, and because he was aware and alert, and he refused to take part in anything that involved, you know, crazy violence or crimes. And you should have the same awareness as well. So there are upcoming protests at state capitals across America. I don't know what date that is, but it seems like I saw the 19th or something. And the FBI has put out a story that says, oh, there are going to be armed protests at these 50 state capitals across the country, armed. And the FBI is basically pre-announcing to the media, get ready to start reporting on the violence and the attacks of the patriots, even if they're totally peaceful. So remember, if you have 100 patriots standing in a group, totally peaceful with no weapons, that's terrorism, according to the media now. But if you have 100 Antifa lunatics carrying, you know, with body armor and shields and throwing Molotov cocktails and hammering you with bricks and frozen water bottles and setting fire to buildings, that's mostly peaceful. So merely merely being together with other patriots is now going to be considered an act of terrorism. That's how insane the police state is becoming in America under the presumed Biden administration. So you've got to be alert. In fact, the Gateway Pundit is telling people do not attend the state capitol protests. I'm not sure I totally agree with that advice. I think everybody has a right to peaceably assemble. It's mentioned in the First Amendment, right? So yes, you have the right to peaceably protest and to seek redress, you know, against government. It's all part of the First Amendment. So as long as you're being peaceful and you're not setting fire to things like Antifa would do, then you're not committing any crime, and they're going to have a very hard time prosecuting you for being peaceful. And even if they pass the new Patriot Act 2.0 and they say that, well, every MAGA rally is an act of terrorism, that's going to be really hard for them to enforce for very long. I mean, they may get away with it for a little while, but American people don't like to be herded like animals and told that they can't stand on the sidewalk and hold a sign, you know? I think it's also hilarious that the media is trying to accuse Trump supporters of carrying out an attempted coup in America when there has been a coup in America, and it's the coup by the Democrats with their cyber warfare and their ballot rigging, you know, election rigging. That's a coup. And it's been carried out by the left and the globalists and the CCP and the deep state. That's a real coup. And that coup appears to have succeeded, although Trump may have something to say about that. But under that coup, America is being turned into a military police state. And remember that when Antifa and Black Lives Matter, when they were torching DC last year, and Trump had very few federal troops on the streets to protect the city, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer accused Trump, saying that he had turned DC into a, quote, oppressive militarized zone. Well, you want to see an oppressive militarized zone? Go look at DC right now for what Biden thinks he wants for his inauguration. It's going to be anywhere from 8,000 to 15,000 troops on the streets with a 7-foot fence around everything. Folks, that's an oppressive militarized zone right there, but the Democrats love it. Which leads me to the potential good news here. Think about where we are right now. The Democrats love the fact that there are now 15,000 National Guard, or about to be 15,000 National Guard troops in Washington, D.C., because they think that Biden is going to be their president. And perhaps so, but hear me out on this. Who signed the order for the National Guard troops to be placed in D.C.? Well, I'd been trying to track down that answer for a couple of days here and finally got the answer today. Who signed the order was Chris Miller, the Secretary of Defense. Chris Miller is a patriot. Chris Miller is an expert in unconventional warfare. And Chris Miller was put in place by Trump shortly after the election when Trump fired Mark Esper. He put Chris Miller in place, and Chris Miller then, he put the special forces units in all branches of the military under his direct command. And I remember there was a speech he gave not too long ago at Fort Bragg, and he was introduced in that speech by none other than Ezra Cohen Watnick, who is rumored to be the team leader of the Q movement. And Ezra Cohen Watnick is a former DIA person, Defense Intelligence Agency, and was also then made the chairperson of the Public Interest Declassification Board by President Trump in an executive order just a few weeks ago. So, whoa, you know, a lot of dots start connecting here. Ezra Cohen Watnick then has the power to declassify things, and this declassification could be one of the key strategies for Trump to expose pedophilia, corruption, bribery, kickbacks, fraud, you know, all kinds of crimes that, and every high-level member of the Democrat Party and most of them in the GOP, they are all criminals, okay? And once the documents get dumped about those people, America will in no way have any appetite for living under a Biden-Harris presidency. In any case, Chris Miller signed the order to bring the troops to D.C. Now, what if you knew as a strategist, and Chris Miller is an expert strategist, what if you knew that Trump was going to have a second term and that the playbook of the color revolution of the leftists is to have a disputed presidency where you have an unpopular, hated president who seizes power at the last minute, and then the population rises up in anger. And what do? Oh, they overthrow the hated leader in a color revolution that then overthrows the country. In other words, it destroys the entire constitutional republic, which is really what the globalists want. They actually don't want Joe Biden in charge. They don't need a brain-dead puppet. What they need is America gone. They need the republic to be wiped out. And the way to achieve that, according to key people of the left, you know, the authors and analysts who are the architects of this, is you have to have a color revolution. And in order to do that, you have to have the unpopular president, and then the masses rise up and overrun the Capitol and take all the buildings over and, you know, announce victory and raise the Antifa flag on top of the White House and whatever. So that's actually the color revolution plan that the left wants to pursue. Well, if you knew that this was their plan and you wanted to protect Washington, D.C. and the Capitol building and protect a Trump inauguration for his second term, how could you get 15,000 troops there? You would have to get agreement from the Democrats. See, the Democrats, they will attack you. I mean, the left-wing media and the Democrats, they will attack you if you're deploying troops, if they think you're doing it to protect Trump. But they will love you if you're deploying troops that they think are there to protect Biden. So Chris Miller signing this order, if you go back one step, well, how could you create massive demand in the left-wing media and the Washington Post and Democrats for all of these troops? Well, you would have to have some kind of a security failure in D.C., such as the Capitol building being breached in a harmless way. Well, I mean, harmless from the point of view of the breachers, but of course, one of the, I think the Capitol security guys there shot Ashley Babbitt and killed her. So there was at least that one casualty and perhaps several others, but the casualties weren't caused by the breachers, you know, not by the Trump supporters. And I'm sure this wasn't part of the plan to have anybody hurt, but it seems to me that the real plan was for Trump to have millions of people there, knowing that Antifa and Black Lives Matter would hijack the crowd to breach the Capitol building. Because remember, Trump's got DOD guys who have infiltrated Antifa, so they knew Antifa's plan. They knew that the Capitol police were told to stand down and lift the barricades and invite people in because they knew this was the narrative of the left. So what Trump did is he had his DOD people hijack the hijacking of the breaching of the Capitol. And DOD people jumped in, joined in the raid, went straight to the offices of Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, grabbed the laptops, put them in their backpacks, and scuttled their way out of there. And they needed this massive crowd in order to cover that activity, to gather that incriminating information on Pelosi's laptops, which is why Pelosi's losing her mind and going crazy trying to get Trump out of office as soon as possible. But then Trump's people also knew that the reaction to this breach would be that Democrats would demand troops in D.C., which means that if Trump flips this whole thing around and Trump is the one that's going to be sworn in, the Democrats can't then say, oh, we don't need the troops anymore, because the troops are already there. The fences are already built. And what would these troops and fences be perfect to defend against? A radical left-wing uprising color revolution attempt. So I know this gets complex, and I know it's connecting a lot of dots, but you know who's good at doing that? Chris freaking Miller. Chris, I mean, I don't mean any disrespect. I'm actually impressed by the man. Chris Miller is an unconventional warfare genius. And I don't think he's just another Washington bureaucrat politician. He's a patriot. He was put in place by Trump. And Chris Miller thinks multiple steps ahead of the enemy. In this case, the enemy are the enemies of America, the domestic enemies, the traitors. So what Chris Miller is very good at doing is getting the enemy to do the work for you. And this, by the way, this is a classic strategy of special operations forces deployed all over the world. You get the enemy to do what you want them to do. So you lead the enemy into taking actions where the enemy thinks that they're defeating you, but they're actually falling right into your plan. And so in this case, the enemy, being the treasonous Democrats, have whipped up all of this panic to bring 15,000 National Guard troops to D.C. And then here's the linchpin. The National Guard troops are currently under the command of their state governors. So there are troops from Virginia, and there are troops from, I think, New Jersey or in Pennsylvania and other places. Well, they're under the governor's control until the president signs the Insurrection Act. Once the president signs the Insurrection Act, well, which I believe he has already done, but he hasn't unveiled it. In other words, he hasn't activated it or invoked it yet. I mean, a signature is just a signature on a piece of paper to say I'm invoking this. But to really invoke it with the Pentagon is to say that I, as the president, I hereby take command of all of these National Guard troops. So those National Guard troops then become federalized, and they're under the control of the commander-in-chief, which is President Trump. And then you have 15,000 troops who are mostly pro-Trump people, by the way. Most people in the National Guard would much rather have Trump as president than Biden. So you have 15,000 pro-Trump people with their firearms, National Guard troops, then protecting Trump from a color revolution attempt. So I know there are a lot of moving pieces to get there, and the Insurrection Act is key to this, but you can't invoke the Insurrection Act until all the troops have arrived. And it's only now that they're finishing arriving. And otherwise, the Democrats would be on to your strategy. Now, President Trump yesterday signed a new emergency declaration. So, you know, if you're doubting this analysis, let me read you this, because this is like, whoa, this is serious. So here it is. This is on whitehouse.gov. It's a briefing and a statement. It's called President Donald J. Trump Approves District of Columbia Emergency Declaration. The president declares that an emergency exists in the District of Columbia and ordered federal assistance to supplement the district's response efforts due to the emergency conditions resulting from the 59th presidential inauguration from January 11 to January 24, 2021. So why would you invoke an emergency declaration from January 11 to January 24? And then it says the president's action authorizes the Department of Homeland Security, FEMA, to coordinate all disaster relief efforts, which have the purpose of alleviating the hardship and suffering caused by the emergency on the local population, and to provide appropriate assistance for required emergency measures authorized under Title V of the Stafford Act to save lives and to protect property and public health and safety, and to lessen or avert the threat of a catastrophe in the District of Columbia. So at this point, you know, they're talking about something way bigger than a little temporary breach of the Capitol building, because that's over and done as of the 6th. And with all these troops there and all the fences now, no one's going to breach any of these buildings. And the only reason they breached it on that day is because the Capitol Police were called back, you know, told to stand down. Oh, and the one commander who gave the order to stand down, and then he ends up, quote, committing suicide a couple days later. Yeah, right. No, they killed him, obviously, because he knew too much. So they made sure that certain doors were unlocked. They made sure that barricades were taken away. I mean, the whole thing was rigged to happen. But now with Trump signing this FEMA emergency order, he's saying that there's going to be hardship and suffering on the local population. You know, he's talking about emergency measures to protect property and public health and safety. It even goes on, it says, specifically, FEMA is authorized to identify, mobilize, and provide at its discretion equipment and resources necessary to alleviate the impacts of the emergency. Remember how I said there was an eyewitness on the ground yesterday in Maryland that said the FEMA camp's going active there? And by the way, over the last 24 hours, there have been other reports, because it's all going active. It's all right here in this presidential directive. FEMA is being activated. But why would you need tents set up all over the place, which is what FEMA is doing? Why would you need emergency equipment all over the place? And what's with all the movement of all the military vehicles? And why would you need 15,000 troops? You need all that stuff to inaugurate Joe Biden? No. No, you don't. All of this is pointing to something much, much bigger. Something on a massive scale, such as an example, a left-wing color revolution uprising attempt, an attack on Washington, D.C. with Trump in his second term. That's, or at least that's one theory of where this is going. Or you could say maybe Trump is anticipating attack from Iran or an attack from China, but it's something much bigger than just a few peaceful protesters, you know, walking into the Capitol building. Something way bigger. Now, this isn't the only interesting thing that's happening right now. There was also an executive order that was signed on November 12th of 2020 that went active yesterday. And that executive order is entitled Executive Order on Addressing the Threat from Securities Investments that Finance Communist Chinese Military Companies. And that order basically says, I, Donald Trump, find that the People's Republic of China is exploiting the United States capital to enable development and modernization of its military and so on and so forth. Advanced conventional weapons, malicious cyber-enabled actions against the United States and its people. And it says, key to the development of the CCP's military here, they increased the size of their military industrial complex by compelling civilian Chinese companies to support military and intelligence activities. And at the same time, they raise capital by selling securities to United States investors. In other words, they're selling stock on Wall Street. And that's how the Chinese Communist Party exploits the United States investors to finance the development and modernization of its military. So Trump says, I therefore find that the military-industrial complex, blah, 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 to protect the United States, I hereby declare a national emergency with respect to this threat, beginning 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on January 11th, 2021, which was yesterday. Any transaction in public-traded securities or any securities that are derived of or are designed to provide investment exposure to such securities. And here comes the hammer. The Secretary of the Treasury, after consulting with the Secretary of State, which is Pompeo, the Secretary of Defense, which is Chris Miller, the National Director of Intelligence, which is John Ratcliffe, and the heads of other executive departments and agencies, hereby authorized to take such actions, including the promulgation of rules and regulations, to carry out the purposes of this order. And then it says that essentially all transactions that support the China's ability to enhance its military-industrial complex are to be voided or divested, and that any United States person has to sell off all of its stock, which would also mean mutual funds and hedge funds and so on that support these Chinese activities, you know, Chinese military growth. Well, because of the language that's used in this executive order, it talks specifically about cyber-enabled actions against the United States and its people. Well, where is Chinese technology and influence being used to engage in malicious cyber-enabled actions against the United States and its people? Well, it's in rigged voting systems and big tech censorship. So the Chinese money in those companies, and those companies are listed on the stock exchange, Wall Street. This is not just about delisting a small number of China companies. This is, through the proper interpretation and implementation, this can be used to take down big tech companies that are using Chinese influence or Chinese technology, or that are sharing algorithms with China. This could be used to take them down as well. So not only do we have that getting activated yesterday, and remember, who does it depend on? It depends on Pompeo, Chris Miller, and John Ratcliffe. All three of those are people that Trump put in place, and all three are patriots that are pro-America and anti-China. And they know what's happening. They see what's happening. Pompeo just gave a speech yesterday about the importance of freedom for America at the Voice of America group. A pretty long video there. All these people know what's at stake. All these people know that China has to be defeated for America to have any future whatsoever. So then Trump declares the FEMA disaster in D.C., which is this vast overreaction to this very minor breach that he knew the left would hyperventilate over and the media would wildly exaggerate. They're playing right into his plans. Trump is building a massive defensive force in D.C. to defend D.C. against a left-wing uprising. And the left will rise up the moment that Trump gets Biden out of office. So all of that is the good news interpretation. And I'm not saying that it's 100% that that's what's going to happen or how it's going to play out. But it all does make sense. It all lines up. And this is exactly the way Trump thinks with Art of War and Sun Tzu. This is the way that Chris Miller thinks. And the Democrats, they are so easy to manipulate because they always overreach. You can count on them to overreach. You can count on the Democrats to do too much censorship and too many troops on the streets and too many lies in the media and whipping up everything all out of proportion. And what if it turns out all they've been doing is putting troops in D.C. to protect President Trump? You know how many Democrat heads would explode once they realize this is what's happening? So I'm giving you these two different versions. So again, to summarize, the bad news sources are telling me that Trump has given up, that none of this that I just described is actually happening, that Trump's just going to walk out of there and I guess face criminal prosecutions and abandon all his supporters and we're all doomed and it's done for. But the good news side of this is that actually all of this is part of a strategic plan, because Chris Miller is a strategic genius and President Trump has known about this for years and actually has a plan in place, and that he actually has the Trump cards and he's ready to deploy them, including declassification. And depending on what's declassified, that could just change the whole equation right there, boom, overnight. If the American people find out something like Joe Biden, let's say potentially, you know, is a child trafficker or a pedophile or something, just as an example, then, you know, that would be a game changer right there. The American people would wake up and first they would vomit and then they would all just demand the removal of Biden, especially if they knew the election was rigged and this could all be communicated through the emergency alert system. So that remains a possibility. The thing is, we have two potential futures laid out in front of us. One future is a very dark future of a totalitarian regime, and it's a future where Trump abandoned us, and it's a future where the Democrats succeeded in their vote theft and succeeded in their false flag breaching of the Capitol building, and then they will push for gun confiscation, and we will probably end up in a civil war. Oh, and by the way, I did interview Stuart Rhodes yesterday of Oath Keepers, and he's got an emergency warning for America. That video should be posted soon on Brighteon.com on my channel, same channel as this podcast. But then in the positive version of all of this, it's actually, this is all part of Trump's plan to win big and then to even defend the White House against a color revolution. And it seems to me that Trump outmaneuvered them on impeachment. Trump outmaneuvered them all just in winning the election in 2016. I mean, they thought they had that whole thing rigged. They thought they had him nailed and done for in the media just from the moment he came down the escalator and announced he was running for president. They thought they had him. They thought they had him with the, what was that audio tape? They had him on a hot mic. Forgot the name of that recording. They thought they had him again and again and again, but they've never had him. I don't think they have him now. I think Trump has outmaneuvered them yet again, but I guess we're going to find out soon. But by the way, even if the good news side of this is what's actually happening, it doesn't mean that it can't be thwarted still at the last minute. There have been a lot of betrayals inside the White House. Trump has found himself surrounded by swamp creatures again and again and again. So this plan could fail and we might never even know about it. Or they could pull something crazy like kidnap one of Trump's family members and threaten to torture them if he doesn't concede or something. I mean, these are the types of things that the deep state does. That's the level at which they commit crimes to get what they want. They'll do anything. And I've already said previously that they've probably threatened Trump with, well, actually, one of my sources says that dirty bombs are being threatened to be detonated across America if Trump doesn't concede. Well, if there were dirty bombs set off, wouldn't that kind of explain the FEMA order that Trump just signed, talking about the hardship and suffering caused by the emergency of the population? That actually makes more sense if there's a bomb that goes off somewhere. I mean, it's like FEMA's preparing for domestic war or an international war. This is not about an inauguration. It's something much bigger, and Trump signed it. So something bigger is afoot, for sure. Now, along those lines, it leads me to my comment about David Wilcock, who I'm somewhat familiar with his work. I've seen some of his videos. And David Wilcock, I believe, is an expert in human consciousness and you might say human evolution. And he understands the direction of humanity's expansion. And he's got a vast amount of knowledge in many areas. And again, he's been reportedly, I think he said on his own video that he's been listening to these podcasts. And I want to thank him for that. Wilcock he has the kind of information that I think humanity needs to move into the next stage of where we go after we grow up and stop playing in this 3D world of silly politics and fake money and, you know, kinetic engagements. There is a much greater world awaiting humanity. There is a world of expanded consciousness, and to make that concrete, what I mean is a world where we realize that we don't have to be conformist robots, where we can be free to be individuals who are divine, and that our brains, our physical brains, are way more than physical, that our brains are actually, what's the best way to say this? They are neural interfaces with a non-material physical consciousness that is non-local, which means that our brains can, frankly, send and receive information that affects the entire cosmos. And people don't typically think of their brains in that way. And I don't normally talk about this here on this podcast, but our brains are much more than just, you know, gray matter. Just, they're not just computational machines. In other words, the way that you know you are conscious is because you have a sense of self-awareness that exists above and beyond the physical brain, which is the interface between your consciousness and your physical body. The brain simply allows your will to be translated into your physical, your physiology. But your brain is not you. Your brain is not your self-identity, and your brain doesn't represent who you are as a whole being. As a being, which includes the spiritual being, in fact, the physical form is the lowest form of who you are as a being. Your spiritual being is infinite in its potential. And it's the spiritual being that has been locked down by this global cartel of evil and fear. And part of the reason they engage in the child trafficking and the child sacrifice and the fear-mongering with COVID and everything else is because they oppress your spiritual potential through a planetary fear grid of sorts. I don't know what you want to call it, but imagine dark 5G towers all over the planet. That's kind of a metaphor for what we actually have from the media, which is constantly pushing fear to keep you in a state where you can never achieve the higher level consciousness required for human advancement. And as I understand it, David Wilcock is someone who speaks a lot about human advancement and how we get beyond the fear prisons that are being used to manipulate and control us. And even when we talk about insurrection and we talk about collapse and we talk about this election, I even need to remind myself more frequently the importance of framing this information in terms of solutions that can lead humanity to more expanded consciousness and awakening, which I consider to be divine. And as you know, I'm a Christian, and I believe that God is real. In fact, we are expressions of God, and we are able to be influenced by and aided by God and Jesus Christ. For example, the whole idea of prayer. In a Christian tradition or other religious traditions, Buddhism, for example, prayer, what is the idea of prayer? It is that you are invoking your spiritual being to request positive outcomes from the cosmos or from God or however you wish to describe it. Prayer is the act of moving beyond the physical into the realm of the divine. And then seeing that divine intention through your free will consciousness create changes in the physical world around you. And the reason this is all relevant, the reason I wanted to address this and mention David Wilcock is because everything that we are dealing with here with politics and the election and civil war and financial collapse and all of this and COVID, the answer to all of this is not what you think. It's the answer to political corruption is not examining the source code of the Dominion voting machines. The answer to the corruption is to advance to a higher level of spiritual awakening. In other words, you change the game. You're playing in a simulation when you focus forever on just the day-to-day things that are happening in the physical world around you. You're playing in a simulation like a Sim City. And the answers are never going to be found there. So the answers to all of this, the fear grid, the pedophilia, the corruption, the demonic influence over our society, the answers to this can only be found in reaching out to the divine, which myself, as a Christian, I would define as Jesus Christ and reading Bible scripture, but other people who have other interpretations of that, you know, they might describe it in different terminology. But it's all still actually coming back to the God who is the creator of our cosmos and who has granted us a consciousness through which everything else is created. In other words, we do, in essence, create the world around us through the application of our consciousness, and we have to be mindful that we work towards creating a more positive outcome. So even myself, sometimes I can sound too fearful about things, and I understand, I get caught in that from time to time, and that's not my intention. But I have to remind myself, how do we rise above all of this? Even if Biden gets sworn in, how do we rise above that? What is the spiritual solution to tyranny and communism? Because again, the answer to communism is not anti-communism. The answer to communism, which is the antithesis of human freedom, is to embrace, explore, and expand human consciousness and freedom. It's to uplift ourselves and everyone around us with that consciousness, because it turns out that communism and disinformation and censorship, which are all dark forces, they cannot coexist in a world where people have uplifted consciousness and awakening and understanding of divine concepts. You see? So in other words, censorship is contradictory to spiritual freedom. So the real lesson in all of this is that if we want to, quote, win in this world, we have to transcend it. And I think Wilcock speaks about such topics probably a lot better than I do. But I do want to encourage you. You know, I did a Bible scripture update on Sunday, I believe, the faith update. I am a person of faith. I want to encourage you to explore your faith as we move through these very, very difficult times. I believe that from a biblical point of view, we are approaching what many people would consider to be signs of the end times. And there is going to be a lot more human suffering during this time. And I believe there's going to be global depopulation and so on. But remember, your soul is bulletproof. And even if they kill your body, they can't take your soul unless you give it to them. You can, quote, win the simulation even if your physical body is destroyed, as long as you operate in alignment with spiritual principles. And so whether we win or lose, you know, on this planet or in this war or in this election is actually irrelevant almost. It's so tiny compared to the much bigger question of, do you dedicate your life to God or to Satan? You see, that, I mean, that's a far bigger question. I mean, you know, or satanic forces or demonic forces, you know, if that's what you're into, and a lot of people are in society today, they think it's cool to be a demon worshiper, then they're paying a spiritual price that transcends anything that they might think that they've been rewarded with in this physical existence. So, you know, a lot of these pedophiles and, you know, child torturers and whatever, they think somehow, they're so twisted, they think they're winning in this world because they're gathering, you know, fulfillment for their twisted appetites, but they're actually losing on a scale that they can't even comprehend. So that's the big picture. And then finally, from a Christian point of view, there is something about faith that goes hand in hand with suffering. You cannot know, or I should say God cannot know a person's faith until that person endures some degree of suffering. Because if everything about life is easy, then faith requires no commitment, does it? There's nothing to prove. Until you go through hardship, until you are persecuted, then you have never truly tested your faith. And if your faith is a vector of measurement of your commitment to the divine, then the only pathway to achieve an understanding of your own faith is to experience considerable suffering. I know it seems like the opposite of what we would want, right? But if life is too easy, you haven't proven anything to anyone, certainly not to yourself and not to God. So when we endure challenges such as those that we are living through right now, understand this is also a process of self-discovery, because you have not lived truly until you discover who you are. And you can never know who you are until you've been tested and have gone through suffering. So think about all those people who are the Trump haters, and they are treated in a very positive way by the media. They're allowed to speak on Twitter. They're allowed to have, you know, their jobs in corporate America. They're allowed to be famous musicians and have successful albums or have successful acting careers and so on. Everything is handed to them. Everything is easy because they have the appropriate hatred toward Trump or, you know, America or liberty. Well, those people have never had the opportunity to discover who they truly are, because they have not suffered. They are just empty shells of what they really could be. Meanwhile, those of us who have gone through tremendous suffering and strife and attacks and deplatforming and demonetization and defaming and all these things, that these kinds of attacks that are leveled against Christians and Trump supporters today, these are from, I know it doesn't sound, it doesn't feel like it all the time, but these are in effect the kind of challenges that give you the gift of self-discovery, but only if you navigate your way through with a sense of faith. That's what this is. Okay. And then just one more final thought. And my apologies if some of you think this is mingling maybe, you know, New Age concepts with biblical concepts, but here it is. The Bible was transcribed by human beings who were fed information by a divine consciousness known as God. That divine consciousness is not limited by time or space, because that divine consciousness created time and space. The Bible is an encoding of events yet to come and lessons yet to be learned, especially when it's read in its original Hebrew, which is why, you know, so many of the people who analyze the Old Testament, for example, they forced themselves to learn Hebrew, or they grew up, you know, reading and writing that language, and they can read it as it was originally written. But this is why there's so much prophecy in the Bible that has been proven to be true, even though the human transcribers who wrote it, you know, many thousands of years ago, or, you know, I mean, depending on which book of the Bible, it was written at different times, obviously, but it was a long time ago. How could they see what's going to happen now? The answer is because it is written by a divine being that is not boxed in by the concept of time. God can not only see everything that's happening now, God can see everything across all time, which includes the past and the possible futures. And the futures are, they're really multiverses. There are many multiple futures. And we choose those futures with our consciousness. So the Bible is encoded in a way that encapsulates many different possible futures, but also then highlights the most probable futures that even God could see were the most likely outcomes. So when big events happen in history, such as, you know, a city being nuked, for example, that sets off waves, ripples through space and time that make that a waypoint that is recorded in the Bible. And it is in the end times. You know, locusts and famine and meteors coming out of the sky, you know, impacting the earth and destroying a third of the ships of the sea and so on. These are major events. And those events, being that they're cosmic, are not affected by human choices. In other words, whatever meteors are going to hit planet Earth at some future date, they're already on the way. They're already on their trajectory. And no matter what you and I do, no matter what happens with Joe Biden or Donald Trump, those meteors are on their way, and they're going to hit, and they're going to land in the ocean, and it's going to inundate all of the coastal cities around the world, which would take out Washington, D.C., as well as London and and, you know, many other cities, most of the cities, capital cities of nations that tend to be, you know, near ocean ports, by the way. So God could see that. God could calculate trajectories of large rocks coming towards Earth many thousands of years in advance, because to him, he sees all time across all possibilities simultaneously. He can see the rocks coming. He can see the impact. He can see the aftermath. And so you and I can't change those events. We can't change solar flares. We can't alter the position of the sun. We can't change the spin of our planet or its orbit or its axial tilt. What we can control is how we use these lessons to achieve personal discovery and personal growth and get closer to God. So it doesn't matter what challenges are thrown at us, as long as we use them as learning opportunities to get closer to God, then we are on the path of human awakening and consciousness expansion, which I consider to be synonymous with getting closer to God. So there you go. There's my interpretation. I know, totally uninvited. You didn't ask for that, but I gave it to you anyway. Just giving you a little bit of insight about the big picture in all of this. And it doesn't mean that I'm some, you know, perfect being of forgiveness, because if commies come to my door, I'm still going to shoot them with my AR-15. You know, I'm not going to, you know, bow down and say, I love you and we're all together. No, that's not going to happen. I'm still going to shoot them. So, you know, I'm maybe you are at a higher vibration than I am, but I am at least working on that path and trying to get there. But I mean, freedom is, we have to defend our freedom in this world, obviously, in order to explore these relationships with God and with the divine and with greater consciousness. So freedom is the answer to helping us get there. So that's one more reason to defeat communism and defeat Joe Biden as well. But thank you for listening. Sorry if this went on too long. I'm doing my best to bring you the interpretation of events, both here in the 3D world and then, you know, a little bit of commentary about what is above all of that. I will continue to bring you an analysis each day here with the situation update, at least through January 20th. And now, thanks to Trump, he made this FEMA announcement all the way to January 24th. So probably means I'm going to have to do a daily update all the way through that emergency. Who knows what's coming? But I will do my best to keep you updated, and thank you for all your consideration and support. Again, if you want to support our online store, it's healthrangerstore.com. Really appreciate your support. We are paying a lot of money for the bandwidth of all the videos of brighttown.com, as well as the R&D team. And I've got a staff of engineers to support in all of that. We're subsidizing it. It's still losing money. But every purchase that you make with us helps us continue to produce this information and bring it to you free of charge. Oh, and by the way, have you noticed there are never any ads in the middle of these podcasts? And isn't that awesome? Because I don't know about you, but when I'm listening to other people's podcasts, it's super annoying when they read an ad in the middle of the podcast, or they throw a recorded ad right in the middle of a sentence. Have you heard that before? I don't do that. I just plug the store at the end, because I don't want to interrupt the flow of thought throughout the whole thing. So I hope you appreciate that. I respect you. I respect your time and your opinion, and I appreciate your support. Thank you so much. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, naturalnews.com.